Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Robbie Stanley, on your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5.
And welcome into Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. As always, I'm your host, Robbie Stanley. The Preds begin the season 2-0-0 over in Prague. Two big wins in Europe, and they're back home starting tomorrow, coming up on Thursday, the home opener against the Dallas Stars. They'll be on the road in Dallas this weekend as well, but lots of things to like in the first couple of games for the Predators. Nino Niederreiter scores three goals. Ryan McDonough making an immediate impact as well. UC Saros picks up a win. Kevin Lankinen picks up a win. There's a lot to like about what we saw in the first couple of games for the Predators, and we'll see how they can build on that as their, I guess, Continental United States part of the schedule starts tomorrow against the Stars. But the story of this week, the Preds' final roster cut down from 27 to 23, and Philip Tomasino not a part of things on the roster for the Predators, the 23-man roster, to begin the home portion of the season. He'll start the season in Milwaukee. Joe Rexroad and myself discussed that this morning on Robbie and Rexroad, following some interesting comments from Preds head coach John Hines on Tuesday at practice as well. Here was that conversation on Philip Tomasino and what the top six could look like as the Predators try to move forward here as well.
Joe, we were at Nashville Predators practice yesterday for the first time, I believe, since very early 2020. The locker room was open, so that was cool. Good to be back in there and, you know, have a somewhat sense of normalcy. But the story of the day yesterday was talking to John Hines after practice and getting his thoughts on Philip Tomasino. And John Hines had a lot of thoughts to share on Philip Tomasino yesterday, and it was kind of you and me kicking off the question. So here's the first part of what John Hines had to say yesterday on his decision to send Philip Tomasino down to Milwaukee to begin the season.
John, what went into the decision for Tomasino to start the year in Milwaukee?
You know, one of the things is, Tommy's he's a top six talent, and we know that. And, you know, it's important for us to help him and help and him help himself get his game to be a top six player. And I think when you look at it, he certainly could be here. But I think when you're looking at a young, offensively talented player, you know, when you look at how we would be able to utilize him right now with basically a healthy roster, you know, there were some guys that had performed well that we liked on that winger with Joey. And then the other part is, you know, when you look at where guys have played, so where's he going to get his ice time, right? On the power play, you have the top unit. None of those guys are hurt, so they get the majority of it. Our second unit right now, you have Niederreiter's a new player. You have Glass and Tolvanen, who have played really, really well. Janot's been, you know, excellent on the power play, and you have Carrier. So for us, it's important, how can we help him and how can he help himself get himself to the level that we expect him to be, which is a top six forward? And this is the right thing for the player. It's the right thing for the team. And it's important for him to go down and play a prominent role in Milwaukee right now, get, you know, a lot of minutes, top power play time, and play with either two good centers. I mean, Parsonen's a young prospect here that probably had a potential to make the team out of camp. He's down there as a dynamic center. You also have Tommy Novak, who, you know, is a really good offensive playmaking center. So we feel like even though Tommy's going down, he's going to be on a good team. He's going to be with good players. And I think we've seen with the Glasses, the Janots, you know, Tolvanen at times, when those guys come up and play and they've played a prominent role in Milwaukee, a lot of times they get right up to the NHL and they're ready to play and they're confident in their game's in order. And that's what we talked with Tommy about. And we think it's the right thing for now for him. But make no mistake, I mean, we think he's a top six talent, and he's a top young player for us, and his future is bright here.
So that was John Hines yesterday after Predators practice. And Joe, you asked a good follow-up, which we'll get to here in just a second. But what did you make of kind of that initial explanation from John Hines as to why Philip Tomasino is beginning the season with Milwaukee?
Well, I think that and probably more than we can play the whole thing of Hines yesterday was really interesting and really I thought it was just good stuff. A lot of stuff I hadn't thought about as much in terms of Tomasino's development. The only thing that the whole Kiefer Sherwood, it was just too good. Now I buy Kiefer Sherwood as a guy who can impress and the way he plays can impress, can make this team and all that stuff.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, that's a placeholder, right? And I think that's what it's – I mean, I think it's going to be Tolvanen tomorrow on that line anyway, right?
Yes.
So I just think that it's about what Tomasino didn't do.
Well, and you asked John Hines about that yesterday in terms of what did they not see from Philip Tomasino at training camp, and here's what John Hines had to say about that.
What about his game did you want to see in camp that you didn't see or that you want to see him develop down there?
Yeah, a couple things. I think that he's, you know, he turned some nice plays in training camp, but I think the shift in, the shift out, the ability to, you know, play at a high pace, use his skill set, the competitive level you need to play with without the puck, he has it. He's shown, even last year, like he's shown signs and spurts of it, but you know, it's important for him to be able to, how do we help him grow his game, his game where he can do that night in and night out and play those types of minutes? You know, we didn't see him doing that right out of the bat with our team. So, you know, that's what we're looking for him. Also, a big component of his game is a power play. And sometimes when you're only getting 30 seconds, you know, you're not getting a ton of ice time, but you're an offensive guy and you don't get some touches on the power play because our guys are there. Now, that's all those things you consider when you look at a young offensive guy like him.
How did he handle it?
He handled it well. You know, we had a talk with him, and obviously it's disappointing, and it's not easy for us either. I mean, you know, we recognize he was with us last year, and, you know, to be honest, there were times last year we didn't feel like we had the depth, but there were conversations last year like, is it the right thing right now? Should we send him down and give him some time to play? And you look at what happened with Glass. So we had the discussion with him, and he understands that when you really go through and look at, hey, this is where you possibly could play, but if you're not playing on Joey's wing and you're not on the top power play, how are we going to find minutes for you to develop your game? He's 21 years old, and you know, like I said, we expect him to be to be that player for us, and we have to work together to grow it and use the resources we have. That's why you have the American League. It's why we added a lot of depth to our organization. So we feel like we have good NHL depth, but also you want to have players. If Parson and these guys are, and Tomasino happen to be in Milwaukee, or they're in Milwaukee, you want them to be surrounded by good players that continue to help them develop their game. So we feel like it's the right thing at this time, and let's see where it goes from there.
So, Joe, I've got a couple of takeaways from that. Number one, I think we can talk about Kiefer Sherwood, and, you know, I don't even really put Tolvanen in that conversation because we knew he was going to be on the team. We could talk about Kiefer Sherwood and Zach Sanford and all these other guys, Michael McCarron, that have made the team, playing well in training camp and earning a spot, and that's fine. Like, I think those guys, for the most part, even though, like I said yesterday, I don't really know what Zach Sanford did to make the team other than he's on a one-way contract. But those guys, we could talk about that all day. Bottom line, from what I took from there from John Hines, was if they felt like they had seen what they wanted to see from Philip Tomasino, he'd be on the team. Doesn't matter what any of those other guys did. So, you know, we could talk about, well, Kiefer Sherwood was really good, and there just wasn't a spot for Philip Tomasino. That's not it. If they saw what they wanted to see from Philip Tomasino, he would be on the team.
Right.
So that's my number one takeaway.
Agree.
From yesterday. Number two, I thought it was interesting that he talked about last year in terms of just not really feeling like you had the depth, because maybe at some point last year you would have sent Philip Tomasino to Milwaukee. And I found it interesting, Joe, because I thought for the most part, Philip Tomasino was pretty good last year in the role that they asked him to play. Like, you know, he had 32 points basically on the fourth line and on a second power play unit that was not overly productive. Like, it wasn't perfect. I think, and, you know, John Hines kind of confirmed yesterday a little bit of what I thought of. I don't think they're very happy with him away from the puck. And not being happy with him is probably not the right term. I don't feel like they're comfortable with him away from the puck right now. So those are kind of two really interesting things that stood out to me in his comments yesterday.
Yeah, it's worth talking it through in terms of, okay, comfortable with him and it much more often is what's going to happen if
right.
He's top six. So I understand the idea of, okay, he could do the same role this year, but is he going to benefit more from being in the role we want him to be in, we being the Preds, by having him do that and get used to, you know, this is how much you're going to play, these are the situations you're going to play, then bring it back. And again, I think what you said yesterday is true. Like, if this becomes a quick stop, get your stuff together, kind of understand what we need from you, again, we being the Preds, Maybe I should just go in on and just say we about all the teams.
Yeah, just embrace it.
Pred Joe.
Yeah.
You know, if he can figure that out and it's quick and he's back, then I think, again, this is not a big deal, right? But this is, to me, it's just the story is that in camp they said, here's this spot, win it, and then he didn't win it. So what does that mean about him? It doesn't have to mean – I mean, I've seen people, and I heard some of Jared yesterday, just completely flying off the handle with overreaction. Like, oh, they think he stinks. They've given up on him. I don't think that at all. But it's not good.
Well, I think you said it very well in your column yesterday at The Athletic. This is potentially good news for Philip Tomasino. Like, in the long run, this may work out well for him. Right now, this is not good news for the Predators. Like, you can't tell me this was part of their plan.
Yeah, so I talked to Glass and Tolvanen yesterday. It's a really interesting thing. It's like they know exactly how this goes. And Glass is a success story because he went to Milwaukee last year and he played all year, and now he's on the team. But if you're the Preds, you don't want these stories. You don't want the story of, they stuck it out and they're hanging in the league. These are first-round picks.
Right.
You know, you want your first-round picks to never have any, they all positive trajectory and then be exactly where you thought that they would be when you draft them, or in the case of Glass, I mean, that's a trade. That's a different deal in terms of, the organization. But Tolvin and Tomasino in particular, those guys have to pan out. So if it's just that Tomasino goes to Milwaukee and, all right, now, you know what, he is good enough to play on the fourth line. Get back in there just like last year. No, that's not what you want.
There's one part of this that, if I'm a Predators fan, really bothers me as they move forward here. And we'll get to that.
Coming up next, you're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Talking all things Nashville Predators, we've discussed the Philip Tomasino situation. He's been sent down to Milwaukee to begin the season in the American Hockey League. You'll hear a conversation with Predators forward Matt Duchene coming up a little bit later in the show as well. But sticking with the conversation here with the top six with the Predators, they are in what I think is a really interesting spot here in terms of the immediacy of that right winger spot on the second line with Nino Niederreiter and Ryan Johansson. And if I'm a Predators fan, there's one part about it in particular that I think would concern me as they move forward here. And we talked about that this morning on Robbie and Rex Road, breaking down what that line could look like as the Predators move forward here. Here was that conversation on the Predators and their top six.
So, Joe, there's one part of this where if I'm a Predators fan, or honestly just like me just observing the situation, I've got a problem with sending Tomasino down to Milwaukee. And I get it that it's a new year and you've got to go on information that you have in training camp. And David Poile said yesterday on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, and he said it on, if you've watched Behind the Glass, it was kind of what he led off his training camp speech with to the team as well. Like, it's not going to be a fair training camp because of the Europe trip. They had to get things figured out quick. I mean, the herd line, not that I think they were going to do too much tinkering with that anyway, but they went from the herd line from start to finish in training camp. They never broke them up. With Granlund, Forsberg, and Duchene, start to finish in training camp, never broke them up. Like, they started off like, we need to get ready for the season right now. And I understand that. So it's a different training camp. But it's also, I look at this roster right now, Joe, and they had Eli Tolvanen out there yesterday as a top six forward. Now, it's a little bit of a different day yesterday. Granlund wasn't out there. I'd expect him to be back out there today. They had Glass up top filling Granlund's spot, and they had Tolvanen with Niederreiter and Johansson. And I would assume that when they play Dallas tomorrow, Tolvanen's going to be there with Niederreiter and Johansson, which is fine. He's played well in the first two games, so maybe he's turning the corner this year. But with Tomasino down, we can talk about Tolvanen. We can talk about Sherwood. Any guy you want to. There's no history of production at a top six level. And I know the response is going to be, well, what history of production does Tomasino have? Well, Tomasino, from a production standpoint, has had a way better season than Tolvanen has had to this point. And he did it on a fourth-line role. So I wonder, like, if I'm a Predators fan sitting here today, I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, do you have another top six winger on your roster? Like, it's a great start for Eli Tolvanen in Europe. Are you comfortable enough with the entire picture of Ellie Tolvanen yet that we've seen the last 3 years where you're comfortable calling him a top six forward right now? Because I'm sure as heck not. Like, I need to see it a whole lot longer from Ellie Tolvanen than we've seen it thus far. So that would be my retort if I'm a Predators fan is, that's great. You can send Tomasino down. But I got news for you. Kiefer Sherwood is not an NHL top six forward. Zach Sanford is not an NHL top six forward. Michael McCarron is not a top six forward. Ellie Tolvanen has not been a top six forward. So is that guy on the roster right now? And if he's not, are you potentially taking your best option there away and stacking him off in Milwaukee? That would be a problem if I'm a Predators fan.
Well, I think that also speaks to the fact that Luke Cunningham was a top six forward like all of last year. Not all of it, but a lot of it, with zero production.
Right.
So, I mean, I think this also certainly – all of it, including some of the new guys they have in there, and you asked Hines about better depth in the franchise, in the system, and it looks like it is, and it's depth of, and he said it too, it's depth of forwards, but also depth of players, that play like he likes.
Yeah.
John Hines, I think it's pretty clear, like he's fine with at least one spot in the top six going to someone he just is gritty and does what he wants him to do. Right. I don't see how you can argue otherwise. But it's also interesting that how many times did he say we think he's a top six guy yesterday? Even that, hearing that from Hines was interesting because I feel like he doesn't even really like to get into the whole top six thing much, right? Like the Hurd lines is, you could look at them as one of their top two lines in a way, sort of, as much as they play in different situations. So, but I think part of this answer is he doesn't look at it exactly the same. Right.
I agree. I just if I'm a Predators fan, number one, let me just say it this way. I think regardless of who's playing there, I feel better about that second line this year than I did last year, just for the simple sake that Niederreiter's there. Like Niederreiter, I think is a good player. So there's no question that they've upgraded there. But are you maximizing what you could be doing there? That is the question. Like Are you paying too much attention to maybe what Tomasino can't do yet and not paying enough attention to what he can do yet? That would be my question.
Yeah, and again, I think that's where it goes to if this – I mean, some people – I've seen this in my comments on my comment and on the text line. Some people are like, this is only because of the nature of the first few opponents. They don't want him in those situations with them, and then once they get past them, they'll go to him. Again, if it's short-term – it really is more of like Tomasino just didn't quite bring what they're looking for. Here's, go to Milwaukee, work it out for a couple weeks. Understand, like, you've got to be out. You're going to be out here more, and you're going to be – you got to not just produce, but you've got to do everything we're looking for away from the puck. Okay. In a couple weeks, fine. Because I think you're right. Like, Niederreiter automatically makes that line better. They'll be fine. But if it's a constant revolving door at the other spot, then you're not going to maximize what you could do. You should have someone. Maybe it is Tolvanen.
Maybe it is.
But you should have someone who has a chance to play with those guys for an extended period of time and really see what you can build. That's why it's a line of three people. That's where – I mean, to me, if it's a constant this person now and this person now, then you're not maximizing what you could do there.
Well, look, and maybe it is Ellie Tolvanen. Like, maybe this is the year where he puts everything together and he – look, I think it's clear that he has learned how to play away from the puck the way they want him to play, away from the puck, which is good. The offense wasn't there last year. Now, maybe he can put it all together this year, and if he can – well, that's great. Then you figure things out there in the top six. But I also think that, like, previous history of what you've seen to some degree does matter. Like, this has been a quick training camp. Are you all of a sudden convinced that Ellie Tolvanen is a top six forward? Like, you clearly weren't convinced of that in the summer because you went out and you got Niederreiter. So now are you all of a sudden convinced that he just is at this point? Like, it's a two-game sample size, which, by the way, the first game he played on the fourth line, and in the second game he kind of moved up to the top six. So he's played like a third of a game in the top six thus far. Like, are you convinced that that's going to be what it is? I don't know how you could be at this point. Not saying he can't do it, but the history – he's got basically – we went through this in the offseason. He's got basically a 15-game sample size of when he was producing at a top six level. Other than that, it's not been there for Ellie Tolvanen. So I don't know how you could just say, yep, that's it. That's going to be it as they move forward here.
Yeah, and I don't think they are. I mean, I think that's just he started playing well, so they said, let's try him there. Because they know, and everybody knows, that like Sherwood is holding a place right now.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think – I mean, Sherwood on the team, I can – you know, I can buy that. He's obviously played well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine, but it's, you know, it's hard to find top six forwards, and that's why when you spend first round picks on people, that's what you expect when you draft a forward in the first round. And three guys again, you know, Glass actually, I feel like his path is a little bit. It's a little more like I'm interested in him this year because of, you know, changing franchises, the concussion knee stuff and all that.
Yep.
Like I could see him at some point, you know, ascending to a different thing. But I agree with Tolvanen, it's a lot more underwhelming than not. So, but it good for him for getting this opportunity. We'll see what he does with it. Ultimately, if Tomasino doesn't have that spot pretty soon, then it reads more like here's yet another high pick forward that just isn't panning out like they hoped.
So I think this is going to be really interesting here on a variety of different fronts. Number one, with Philip Tomasino going down to the American Hockey League, how does he respond? You know, I've seen in different parts of my career here, different Predators forwards who have been sent down, and some have responded really well, and they've gone down, they've had a good attitude, they've been productive, and before you know it, they're back up at the NHL level and they never go back down there. I've also seen players get sent down that it takes a long time. Like it takes a while. And some of that has been attitude related. Some of that has been just ability related. Some of that has been, you know, it takes some time to develop some top six skill and to develop, you know, having your body ready to play on an every night basis for 16, 17, 18 minutes at the NHL level. That's not an easy thing to do. So I'm interested to see how Tomasino handles that. Obviously, this has not gone how he hoped it would go coming out of training camp. Like, you can't find many Predators fans. And like I've said, I don't think you can find many people within the organization itself that thought that this was probably going to be the way that it played out with Philip Tomasino. I mean, he spent basically the whole year last year with the Predators. You know, he was a healthy scratch in the playoffs for a game against Colorado. But by and large, I thought you had to be pretty encouraged by what we saw from Philip Tomasino a year ago. So number one, how does he respond down in Milwaukee? Does he make the most of his opportunity? You know, if he does play well, how long do the Predators want to keep him down there? I mean, some of that is going to have to do with how other players at the NHL level perform. But I am interested to see, like, if Tomasino responds the way that you want him to and he's playing well without the puck, he's putting up points on the power play, he's maybe your best forward down there in terms of at the AHL level, how long do you leave him down there if you're the Predators? That's a really interesting question to me. And the other part of this is what I think is what we talked about, the worrisome part. If Tolvanen can't grab a hold of the spot at right wing in the top six, do the Predators really have anybody that can? Like, I think that's a legitimate question with the roster based, you know, based on how it is today. I feel great about Niederreiter, obviously 3 goals in 2 games to begin the season. But not only that, just what he's been in his player throughout his career. I think you know what you're going to get out of Nino Niederreiter, and there's something to be said in this league for knowing what you're going to get. I feel good about Johansson and Granlund and Forsberg and Duchesne. I mean, look, 5 out of the 6 spots I feel pretty good about in the top six for the Predators. That sixth spot, if it's not going to be Tolvanen, and maybe it will be, we'll see how he responds to being given that role. But if it's not going to be him, do the Predators have anybody else on the roster that can fill that role? Is it a Tanner Jeannot? Like, do they consider breaking up the herd line? That's not been something that they've been very comfortable doing at any point. Does that have to change at some point this year? There's a lot of questions that go into this, and I still believe both in the short term, so in the short term in this case I'm referring to this season and this team, and in the long term as well, as you start to forecast what this Predators roster is going to look like for the next 3, 4, 5 years, I still believe Philip Tomasino being in the top six is a really important part of that. So, you know, I think Joe Rexroad said it really well. We talked about this. This is not, I think, good news for the Predators. It ultimately could end up being good news for Philip Tomasino in his career if he develops the way that John Hines wants him to develop. But certainly this makes the top six a little bit more intriguing, with Philip Tomasino not on the roster to begin the season, and with a guy like Elek Tolvanen getting a shot, presumably coming up starting tomorrow night against Dallas. Coming up next, a guy that will definitely be in the top six, we'll hear from Predators forward Matt Duchene. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley here with you, as always, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. The Nashville Predators getting things started at their home portion of their schedule tomorrow as they host the Dallas Stars at Bridgestone Arena. And one guy that's off to a pretty good start this season and certainly was a catalyst for them all the way last season, Predators forward Matt Duchene. We caught up with him this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. Here was that conversation with the Predators star forward, Matt Duchene.
And Matt, good morning, man. What's going on?
Hey, how are you?
We're awesome. Appreciate good. You taking time to be with us today. So, got the home opener coming up on Thursday, Matt. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. But what was that experience like for you and your teammates just beginning the season in Europe? Obviously, the preseason game against SC Bern, and then two big wins against the Sharks as well in Prague. Just what was that experience like for you as a whole?
Yeah, no, it's great. I've been to Switzerland and I've been to Prague actually many times and love both spots. Switzerland's probably the most beautiful country in the world, and Prague is probably my favorite city in Europe. So it was, when I saw what we were doing, when it was announced, I was pretty excited, and all the boys kind of saw what the reasons why I love both those places when we're over there. Everybody had a great time and spent a lot of time with teammates. And for me, this is my, you know, every time I say it, it makes me feel like 1,000 years old. But my 14th year in the league coming up. And, well, I guess we started already. I keep forgetting that. But so it's nice to have something a little different than just a regular exhibition season and then, you know, regular season. So it almost feels like we had two starts of the season, because this one coming up tomorrow, you know, feels very different than those prior two.
So, Matt, what do you feel just about the hockey that has counted with the two wins? And you know, you're on the board. You know, Phil's on the board. Nino comes in and he's immediately registering. It looks like he and Johansson have a nice thing. Like, what are your impressions early of how you guys have hit the ice?
No, I think we, with the exception of the third period in the second game, I think we've done a lot of really good things, and I think that it's a great start. I mean, we're just going to build our game out, and, you know, everything, it's a great starting point. I think we, you know, handily won those two games. I think, you know, they were never in jeopardy, in my opinion. That never felt like they were anyway to us. So that's always a good feeling. And obviously the Sharks are not a team that's going to be a powerhouse this year, but, you know, anytime you face, I mean, we lost to Seattle at the start of last year. And they were one of they played an unbelievable game. A lot of the time when you start the season, everybody's that kind of, even it's, you know, you can't take anybody for granted. You can't take any, lately everyone's pretty much the same spot. So, but, yeah, really happy with how it started. And, the new guys look unbelievable. You know, even a guy like McDonough got, you know, is on the board, and, you know, offense isn't really his specialty. He can make some plays, and he's really smart out there, but he's such an unbelievable shutdown player. I mean, him and Ekholm looked unbelievable together. So just a lot to be excited about for sure.
Preds forward Matt Duchene on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Matt, you've talked about in training camp kind of your approach. You know what your role is going to be on this team. You know who you're going to be playing with, at least to start out here, and the difference that's made for you. I just am curious, coming off the season you had a year ago, obviously a good start to the season this year, what's your approach now with this group when you do have that comfortability that you talked about in training camp?
Just like our team, I want to build. I want to continue to, you know, build my game and you know, take that, you know, take those next steps. And you know, I started off this training camp, you know, kind of where I finished last year, which was my goal. But that's a mentality, in my opinion. And the mentality, you know, it's one of those things you can't, because I knew exactly what I was going to get coming in, I knew exactly where I was at and where the team was at, it's pretty easy to start at that point. When there's question marks like there has been in the past and you're not sure and there's all this stuff up in the air, it's really tough to do that. And I guess that's where I give myself credit last year, was I was able to do that coming in. But for me, it's just, you know, I definitely have goals and things I want to achieve in this league, but the number one thing that I want to achieve is a Stanley Cup. So whatever that takes to help this team do that, I mean, you know, will it mean, do I need to score 43 again this year? I don't know. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, maybe it's more. I'm not sure. You know, for me, it's whatever the team needs, that, and that evolves, and that is something that you can't predict. So at the end of the day, I'm an offensive guy and I need to produce and, you know, help, you know, the power play and all that. And all of our guys did that last year. And that's why we had a successful regular season. And now it's time to, you know, continue to move forward and keep progressing. And, you know, I think the worst thing you could do is, and I haven't seen this from our group at all, which is awesome. The worst thing you can do is try to, you know, you look behind you and try to repeat what you've done. That's the worst mentality you could probably have, and it's not the mentality we have, and which is great. I think what we're trying to do is look forward and, you know, be better and continue to improve and climb and build this and as a team and as individuals. So it's a great feeling around the rink right now.
Yeah, it's interesting, Matt, because from the media fan perspective, and we've talked about this a bunch of times, it's like, okay, Duchesne, can he replicate that? Forsberg, can he replicate that? Yossi, you know, 96 points. I mean, you know, maybe not. If not, you know, what else needs to happen? But I know that from your perspective, you don't probably want to think about it that way, right? Think about like statistical milestones, right? I mean, you're just trying to each day win and do what you're supposed to do within your job.
Yeah, I think the best way to look at it is when I got close to 30 and when I got close to 40 last year, it was on my mind. But at the same time, like, the way I got there was by taking it one day at a time. I mean, I had 1 point in the first five games last year of the season. And, you know, I was kind of like, I thought I was playing well and doing a lot of really good things, and it just wouldn't go in. It was felt like the pass. And then I have a puck hit me in the foot in Minnesota, bounces to Yossi and he shoots in the open net, and I end up with three assists that game, and then you're off to the races. That's how this league works. It's you got to stay, the more you can stay in the moment and stay in it, and you can't panic and you can't worry, and it's easier said than done sometimes. Sometimes there's reason. You know, for me, I think all I'm worried about is, you know, the next game, you know, producing that game, scoring that next goal, you know, whatever. I mean, that's the way I look at it. And the nice thing is, you know, there's times I've been here where it felt very daunting and very hard to do that. And right now it doesn't. It feels like I've actually talked to Johansson about it the other day before the opening games. It's like we're all going in and we all want to score. We all want to, and we all want to produce. And you know what? It's not just wanting to. It's believing we can and that it will happen, because we're such good with training. That's a career, just with some of the, you know, some of the teams I've been on. I mean, I was on a rebuilding team for almost 9 years, so that was tough, and that feeling was very fleeting. So it's amazing coming to the rink and feel that and know that we can all contribute to the team's success, which is obviously the old thing. So it's just, like I said, it's a great vibe right now, and I think we're just really, if you could ask me what to describe our group in one word, I would say the word is hungry, and that's a damn good word when it comes to pro sports.
Brett's forward Matt Duchesne on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Matt, last thing for you here. I mean, you're obviously familiar with being a high draft pick in the NHL. You know, Cody Glass has been a high draft pick as well. It's not ever the same route for any two players, but the journey to get to this point for Cody Glass, you know, everybody's seen the clip of him making the team on the behind the glass stuff. Just, I'm curious, from your vantage point as his teammate, how much of a difference do you notice now, maybe compared to last year in his game, and how excited are you for what Cody Glass may have in front of him now?
Yeah, he's potentially like an ace in the hole type thing. You know what I mean? Like his talent is obviously there, right? He's a high pick for a reason. You can see his talent. Like you said, it takes different people to correct one. There's lots of guys that don't come into they're young. And for me, I think the thing that's very kind of right on brand with our team is like his hunger to, he came into camp and it was like he was starving for this spot, and you could tell. I know Glasser and he's pretty even keel guy, and I was like blown away at his emotion. Like I wanted to, like, as soon as I watched it, I wanted to give him a call and meet up with him and just give him a hug. Like I was like, I couldn't believe it. Like it was just amazing, and I could tell how bad he wanted it in camp. He scored a goal in a preseason game on the power play. I made a pass to him and he put it in the net. And he like thanked me in the scrum after. You could hear it on the behind the glass footage, and I'm like, holy, like this kid wants it bad. He's thanking me for a simple pass where he made me look good. I didn't make him look good at all. He made my pass go in the net. So I was like, geez, you know, this kid really wants it. And it's just amazing. I love seeing that. I mean, I wake up every day and want stuff and want to be great and want to, like, push forward when I see other people with that same hunger and mentality. And, like, a guy like Roman Yossi's got that and Juice. And, like, we have so many guys, Phil. Like, there's so many guys on our team that have that. And to see a young guy, like, want it that bad, just incredible. I love it. I think the world of that kid, and I think he's gonna have a great career. And his work ethic and his mentality. And he got sent down last year. He didn't pout. He went to work and got better. And I mean, I'm just so happy for him. And I know he can be a big factor for us this year.
Well, we're looking forward to watching it. Looking forward to the home opener coming up tomorrow night as well. Matt, you've been kind with your time this morning. Appreciate you taking time to join us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you bet, guys. Thanks.
Thanks to Matt Duchesne for joining us here on the program. Going to be interested to see if he and Philip Forsberg can keep things up. It's always a very interesting perspective with Matt Duchesne in a league where, quite frankly, I feel like not enough players actually open up and give their legitimate thoughts on things. It's kind of cookie cutter, coach speak, all that stuff. I really appreciate guys like Matt Duchesne and Matthias Ekholm, and really a lot of guys in the Predators locker room. They got a lot of guys that are kind of different from your normal hockey player guys around the league in terms of they like to actually talk about things and discuss things. And Matt Duchesne, certainly appreciative of that from him, and he's always been really great to talk to. Hope you enjoyed that interview with Matt Duchesne here on Preds Insiders. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the matchup for the Predators against the Stars and talk about a few interesting parts of this roster that I think really impressed me so far this season over in Prague. That's next. This is Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Preds Insiders, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. As always, I'm Robbie Stanley here with you. Appreciate Matt Duchesne for joining us in the last segment. Looking ahead to the game tomorrow night between the Predators and the Dallas Stars. Now, something to keep in mind if you're either going to the game, planning on watching the game, or, of course, listening to the game here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game as well. Because of the TV schedule, the game's going to be on ESPN Plus coming up. It is a 7:30 start, so normally you're starting at 7 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena. It is a little bit later of a start tomorrow night at 7:30 between the Preds and the Dallas Stars. So something to keep in mind as the Predators open up their season against the Stars at home. Opening night's always fun. I mean, you got the full team introductions that'll take place. Obviously, you know, it was a full house last year, going to be a full house again this year. That part of it's really cool. You know, we had open locker rooms for the first time yesterday at Preds practice, really, that we've had since the beginning of 2020. I mean, it's been open this training camp, but with how many different people have been in and out of there with the amount of just pure players that they have at training camp, it's been hard to open up the locker rooms themselves. And I'm telling you, I'm excited about that in terms of what that means for you and just the better coverage that I think we're going to have this year of this hockey team that you know and that you love. So excited about that. Some guys that really kind of turned my head in the first couple of games against San Jose. First off, the newcomers, obviously, Nino Niederreiter, 3 goals in 2 games.
Can't help but like that. Really like the chemistry that he and Johansson have displayed together thus far throughout training camp and, of course, in the first two games as well. Kevin Lankinen, he gets in there on day two in the back-to-back against San Jose. I thought he played pretty well, and I think Kevin Lankinen's played well throughout the course of training camp thus far as well, and that led to another difficult decision by the Predators. They placed Connor Ingram on waivers this past week, and he was claimed by the Arizona Coyotes. So a couple of things there. We talked about this before. When it came to the goaltending matchup and the goaltending battle, it always felt like there were five guys competing for four spots within the Predators organization. And after they signed Devin Cooley to a contract, you knew that Yaroslav Askarov was coming over. And, of course, you've got Lankinen on the one-way contract. It kind of felt like Connor Ingram was the odd man out, and that's ultimately the way that it worked out. So, sad to see Ingram go. I think the good news is, if you're a fan of Connor Ingram, I think he's going to get an opportunity to play in Arizona, and I think he may have an opportunity to play a lot for Arizona this year. So, I'm interested to see, you know, can he carve out that kind of a role for himself? You know, is he able to take advantage of maybe having more of an opportunity to be an NHL goaltender with Arizona than he would here in Nashville? So I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens that way. But I thought Lankinen was really good against the Sharks. It's hard not to be impressed with the newcomers. I thought the shutdown line of Matthias Ekholm and Ryan McDonough was really good for the most part. And I know I was reading 32 Thoughts by Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. He kind of pointed out the same thing where it's still early. There's still a long way to go, obviously. The Predators have 80 games left, but I think the early returns on Ekholm and McDonough together as a pairing, of course, with McDonough on the left and Ekholm on the right, I think they've been really good so far for the Predators. So a lot to like on that regard. You know, Josi, I thought, was good. I still think Carrier had his moments where it was a little sloppy in the defensive zone, a little loose with the puck as well. So, look, it wasn't perfect for the Predators. You're not going to be perfect really at any point, certainly not to begin the season. I mean, it's a gradual process to get your game in order. But the Predators came away with two wins against the Sharks, and anytime you could start the season 2-0 with a leg up on your competition that way, you'll take it. And now the Predators get into, I think, a little bit heavier portion of their schedule and some teams that have the ability to play well defensively. The Stars have turned into a much better defensive team in the last 3-4 years. Obviously, the Kings, I think on paper, have a chance to be a pretty good defensive team, and that's who the Predators will host coming up next Tuesday night. So by the time we have another Preds Insiders, the Preds will have played three more games, two against the Stars, one more against the LA Kings as well. And by the way, speaking of start times, the LA Kings start time is at home, and it's at 8:30. So a big-time late start time coming up next Tuesday against the Kings, because that game is going to be on ESPN. So something to keep in mind there as well. Defensively, you know, it was interesting to watch how the Predators handled it in Prague. Mark Borowiecki got the first game playing against the Sharks, and then Jeremy Lauzon came in the second game. Look, I thought Dante Fabbro looked pretty good, and I like the role that he's in right now, kind of that third-pairing role. I think it's going to allow him to be a little bit more offensive this year. He's definitely, whether it's Borowiecki to the left of him or it's Jeremy Lauzon to the left of him, Fabbro is definitely the guy that is more offensive of those two and that is going to be able to push things up on the rush a little bit. So, you know, maybe a little bit different. Obviously, Ekholm is great defensively, but when you're playing with Ekholm, Ekholm can also skate things up and move the puck really well, and he's a great skater, and he likes to take the puck behind the net. I don't think you're going to see a ton of that with Borowiecki and Jeremy Lauzon. So an opportunity for Fabbro this year, I think, maybe to add a little bit more offense to his game. And look, you know, Fabro's never been a guy that's going to be confused for like PK Subban out there just wheeling and dealing, but he is a guy that I think that has a really good first pass. He can get it through the zone, up the ice, and start the attack that way. And he made a great play against San Jose coming into the zone, and he saw Niederreiter cross ice, and that set up Niederreiter's first career goal as a Predator. It was a great pass, great play by Dante Fabbro there. So I think lots to like for the Predators over the weekend in Prague. You heard Matt Duchene talk about it earlier in the show. Really, with the exception of the third period against San Jose in the second game, I thought the Predators were pretty good for the most part. So you've got the Dallas Stars coming in. You know, they got the Jason Robertson situation figured out. Miro Heiskanen on the back end. Jake Ottinger in goal, I would presume, for both of these games. I would also presume that Juuse Saros is going to start in goal for both of these games against the Stars as well. So you may look at it and think, well, it's October. You know, the divisional games are important, yeah, but it is October. There's still a lot of the season to go, and you would be right. Although, as I always say, you know, once you get down to the end of the schedule in March and in April, you start counting up points and tallying those things up. And I say this all the time, and it's great wisdom here that you can only get on Preds Insiders. The points in October count just the same as the points in March and April do, and the Predators have an opportunity really to make, I think, an early statement in the division to the Stars of, hey, man, you better get ready to buckle up every time you play the Nashville Predators this year. So we'll see whether or not the Predators can do that starting tomorrow at home. And then, of course, they'll head on the road this weekend on Saturday night to take on the Stars before coming back home next Tuesday to take on the LA Kings as well. That's going to do it for us today here on Preds Insiders, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We'll be back next Wednesday night. You have been listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.